said, what an honour and privilege it is for me to be back here sharing in worship with you this morning. And I'm accompanied, delighted to say, by my darling wife, Donna Kerry, who is just as excited as I am to be here with you all today. So just a quick wave from her. I thought this morning to begin with, it can feel a bit isolating. We're not very spread apart, we're not allowed to shake hands, we're not allowed to hug. We probably don't know who else is here. We're going to share the peace in a special way. I'm going to show you how to do that in a second. I'll show you how to do it first, and then you we come before you today in love and the expectation of hearing your sweet voice whispering mildly into our very being, or roaring like a storm in our souls, challenging us, reassuring us, repairing us, transforming us. We are separated from one another by distance and even by time, but we are united in our worship of you, our eternal, omnipotent and all-loving God. We all come with different thoughts in our heads, different worries, in various states of well-being. We each come carrying our burdens, those things that are playing on our minds and troubling our hearts. And in this moment, we lay them at the foot of the cross of Jesus Christ, our Saviour and Redeemer. And so, Father, for this hour, may we be solely focused on your glory. May our hearts and our minds and our souls be stilled in your presence. Father, we confess that there have been times recently when we have turned away from you. Times when we have turned away from our neighbour. Times when we have strayed from the path you set before us. Forgive us, Lord, we pray. Have mercy upon us as we bring those times before you now in a moment of silent repentance. This is indeed a day of new beginnings, and we rejoice that through your abundant love for us, each morning a fresh start. And so we are bold to proclaim the good news of our faith. In Jesus Christ we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Wherever we may be today, however strange everything may seem, however anxious we may feel, may we be comforted by your glorious presence. As we say together those familiar words that Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our debts, we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
So to hear your holy word that we may
Project in France and Britain, an aircraft. Now, I'd like to finish off the All Age Talk section with a very short prayer as well, because I think it's as children and as grown-ups, we can maybe learn a wee prayer that we can give and use at any time in our lives. So let's just finish off there. And it's not action, so I'll get everybody to stand up again, because we're going to be sitting down for a wee while before we start serving. So it's good to stretch our lives off the ball. And the words are, God the Father bless us. God the Son help us. in Europe under the leadership of some wonderful, faithful women and men. Then sometime later, Paul feels called to write a letter to the congregation in Philippi, which included warnings about opponents and an appeal to follow his example. And it would appear that a group of so-called Judaizers had come to town, who were teaching that Christ's followers had to follow the Jewish ritual practices to the letter of the law if they were to be part of God's chosen people. So yes, follow Christ by all means, but you need to do all the Jewish rituals first, otherwise that doesn't count. He said you couldn't be part of the family of God without first becoming a Jew. And Paul strongly opposes these sentiments, even though he considers himself to be the exemplary Jew. And he explains in this wonderful chapter of Scripture, Philippians 3, you can imagine Paul's attacker saying to him, "What do you know about being a Jew?" To which he replies, "Everything. Everything. Everything." Now we could go into detail of each of Paul's description of himself, but suffice to say, he was born a Jew, he followed all the Jewish rites, he upheld the Jewish law, into the point of following not just the written law, but also all the oral precepts, all the oral modern day academics who study historical Jesus know Jesus. There are people in our own communities, our own families, our own workplaces and schools and universities who know Jesus. But this isn't what Paul means here. Paul is talking about knowing Jesus as my Lord. My Lord. A personal relationship with the risen Lord. A personal relationship with Jesus. And as Christians, isn't that what we strive for? Don't we all yearn to have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Yet we both get so distracted by all the other stuff going on in our lives, don't we? Stressing about this, worrying about that, judging each other, complaining about stuff, rushing here, rushing there, working yourself into early day, work, 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 busy, 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 and peace be with you. We remember that we know Jesus. We remember to look towards the cross and say, Jesus, Jesus, remember me. And Jesus will reply, child, I never left you. Remember, 20 years or so ago, for those listening on the telephone, it's probably near a 40. All those years ago, when I was about 12 years old, I was sitting on the end of my bed with tears streaming down my face, telling my father that I had wasted my life. 12 years old. Now, I was possibly the most religious kid in my school. I'd been going to church and Sunday school my whole life. Yet here I was, realizing for the first time that I needed Jesus in my life. I just returned home from hearing an amazing talk by Church of Scotland minister Captain Stephen Anderson. Can't really remember what the talk was about, but I do remember having an overwhelming sense of Christ's presence amongst us that night. Jesus, to me, was no longer just a picture in the children's Bible. Jesus was real and close and with me and alongside me. Jesus was light and warmth and love and comfort and protection and peace. For that very instance, I knew Jesus. Since that night, there have been so many times in my life when I didn't know Jesus, when I'd forgotten Jesus, when I turned my back on him. And there were so many times I called out to him in despair, and he replied, child, I never left you. What grace, what love, what mercy, what peace. Paul writes, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his suffering by becoming like him in death, and somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. You see, Paul realized that the old ways of his life were dead and buried. Salvation was not to be found in self-righteousness. Salvation could not be earned. Salvation was a free gift given by God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Friends, I wonder what a future beginning gives each and every one of us the opportunity to rededicate our lives to Jesus. As Paul writes, forgetting what lies behind, but straining forward to what lies ahead, each one of us pressing on towards the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. So if you remember me from days past, there's always a challenge. Always a challenge. And the challenge today is, just as we carry our mobile phones with us everywhere, we have all those practical things that we need carried around with us. Every time you touch that mobile phone in your pocket, or take out your handbag, or think about where you left it, remember that Jesus is with you, walking alongside you too. Jesus, who has everything you need, and so much more. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing, now it springs forth. Do you not receive it? To God be the glory. Amen. We're just going to take a moment now in silent prayer as we reflect on these words today, think about what God is saying to each one of us individually and collectively. We also take a moment to discern and give him each gift of our time and our talents and our treasure over the coming week. I'll Jamie place some music for us.
You so love the world that gave us your only Son to live amongst us, to teach us.
touch of your love in their hearts, the peace of Jesus in their minds, the knowledge that there are those in their communities who care so much and are ready and willing to help them through these difficult times. And in a moment of silence, we bring to you those dear to our own hearts who are in need of your love at this time. Omnipotent God, we know that things Now,